All right, so I'm not from here anymore. And I had to accept it. I just have to accept it. When I rub shoulders with people who are stuck in this system, I just can't even talk to them. I just have to accept it. It's finished. It's done. It's, when you really understand who you are in Christ, the cares of this life just disappear. And you're doing everything you can to disconnect. And even when it happens, let's say something bad happens, you know it's the sine wave. And it's going to, God always turns it for good, you know. Whatever happens evil, God turns it around for good. Because it's all about you. You were birthed into this situation not to get rich, not to get fame and fortune and attention, to birth you into the new creature. It's not about what people think. It's not about what lies that they create. Or the whole system's a lie. And so when you get birthed into this place, you're birthed into lies. Because lies are death, right? Truth is life. Lies are death. He says, Apostle Paul said, lie not one to another anymore. Don't lie to each other anymore. Why'd he tell? He told the church that. Why? Because that's not who you are anymore. Actually, nothing's hidden. Everything's revealed. Body language. If you just pay attention to somebody's body language, you already know what they're thinking. If you study body language for a while. Study about 120 hours of body language online, and it'll change your life. It'll change your life because the micro expressions, the macro expressions, the eyes, the lips, you know, you'll forget about it. But certain things, if you study it for 120 hours straight, that'll be what you think about all the time. But then when you go away from it, there's a few things that you'll pick up, but you'll forget a lot of stuff, but you'll see it, and it'll start to become automatic, you know. The reason that nothing is hidden is because it's already been. What has been shall be, what shall be has been. Because you've been through it, other people are going through it. Because Jesus went through it, you're going through it. Everything that you're going through, somebody's already been through, and they overcame. They made it through, so you can make it through. But you just have to use wisdom and pray and ask God. A lot of people, they're trying to make it without God. I don't care what it is. If you pray about it, and you start to meditate on it, think about it, and it'll start to reveal itself. It always reveals itself. In enough cycles. I like to say in cycles, but what I mean is in time. Everything reveals itself in time. And all I mean by time is cycles. Enough cycles go by, everything's revealed. That's why you don't make a rash decision. You don't have to make a rash decision because, so you got a con artist around you. They're going to reveal what they are in time. You don't have to make a hurry. The reason the salesman wants you to make a hurried decision, because they're trying to hoodoo you. Make a fast decision so I can hoodoo you. It's all about hoodooing you, taking away your stability, your identity. If they take away your stability, that's like taking away your identity. Why would they want to hoodoo you? Why would somebody want to hoodoo you? And think about it. They can't hoodoo you unless they get in the ship with you. Let's just think about this for a second. Why would somebody want to hoodoo you? One reason is because they don't have life of their own. They don't have their own power. They don't have source. They don't have source code truth abiding in them, which is what? The Holy Spirit. If you have source, abiding in you, you have the power. You really do have the power. But they want you to think that you don't have the power. It's really simple. You can let the universe be your teacher. The universe is your university. So, a lot of people, I made a note on this today. I was going to talk about this. I might as well talk about it right now. A lot of people, they disconnect God from reality, right? God is up here. He's not connected to anything. Well, he's connected to everything because he's holding it all together. And he's especially connected to your words. Words are not disconnected from this reality. So, really, I want you to think about what I just said. Words are not disconnected from your thoughts. Words are not disconnected from your heart. Words are not disconnected from your reality. Words are not disconnected from your reflection. You reap what you sow, the Bible says. So anybody who wants to fight against me, the Bible says you reap what you sow. Now, are words related to what you sow? Yes, words are related to what you sow. You reap what you sow. Are words related to your thoughts? Yes, because you have to think about it before you do it. Excuse me, you have to think about it before you say it. So your words are connected to your thoughts. And God is connected to everything, and if you're in Christ and he holds it all together, then your words are connected to this reality and your reflection that you're getting because you reap what you sow. You know, people say, well, you reap what you sow, and in their mind, because I fight this too. I still fight it. You reap what you sow. That has to do with just if you do something. If you're out here just doing something, let's say you throw a brick through a window, well, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to go to court, have to pay the fine, pay the fee. You threw a brick through my window. Judge, they threw a brick through my window. Did you throw that brick through their window? Yeah. All right. You got to pay the fee. But people think you reap what you sow is just related to actions in 3D. What you do with your body. The farmer puts watermelon seed in the ground to get watermelon. They reap what they sow. The Bible says in order to have friends, you got to be friendly. You reap what you sow. If you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. When you put some plastic and heat it up, in a hopper and you put it in a mold, the plastic cools off and fits the shape of the mold. What does that mean? It means you reap what you sow. You heated it up, plastic. If you renew your, the Bible says to renew your mind. So if you renew your mind, you get a new mind from yesterday. You don't have the same mind as you had yesterday. So as you renew your mind, you get a new mind. What happened? You reap what you sow. All right, let's talk about emotions. Okay, let's say you go out here and you do something you know you shouldn't do, and if you're afraid about getting caught. Now, look at all the people living in fear about getting caught. Every time a policeman shows up, they hide. Their emotions, they're scared. Why are they scared? They did something wrong. Their emotions are reaping what they sow. So let's say a man out there, he cheats on his wife. It messes with his mind. It messes with his soul, his heart. He reaps what he sows. If he's out there cheating, the Bible says, whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart. He's getting a hard heart. He's reaping what he's sowing. What you gaze upon, what you think upon, what you listen to, you reap what you sow. If you listen to the, okay, let's, okay, this will prove it right here. So if you listen to CNN, Fox News, Alex Jones, or all these news outlets, the mainstream and the alternative, what's going to happen to your inner spirit? You're going to be upset. So all you're doing is listening to the news. Oh, no, there was an earthquake. If all you listen to is bad news all day long, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your cool. You're going to lose your peace. You reap what you sow. So those are words going into your ear gate. So words are powerful. If you're in a situation, and I've worked around people, and everything out of their mouth is a curse word. Now, what does the word curse word mean? Curse. They're putting a curse on you. You lose your peace because you're reaping what's been sown into your ear gate. You reap what you sow. What you think upon, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh, so is he. There you go. These verses come to my mind every so often that I haven't read in 20 years. But as a man thinketh, so is he. There you go. And it's probably, the verse is probably, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'd have to look it up. Somebody can look it up. As a man thinketh, so is he. And it's probably as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But I can't say for sure right now. So there you go. Your thoughts are what? Words. What you're thinking upon. What you're thinking upon. They could be feelings, you know. You could be thinking, I hate that person. Or you could be thinking, I love that person. You could be saying, I'm jealous of that person. They want you thinking about the past, because the past don't exist. If you think about the past and live in the past, you're not living in reality. You're living in something that don't even exist anymore. It's the past. It's not even real. And that's why these agents around you want you to live in the past. They're agents. They are agents. Whether they are intentionally agents or not, they want to bring up your past. Have you been around somebody who always brings up your past? Agent. 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 Why do they want you to think about the past that don't exist? Why are they living in the past? Why? Oh, those were the good old days. Well, today can be the good old days. It's just a matter of how you think, how you shift your thinking, your stinking thinking. The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So your mind is spirit. The Bible said, Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're life. So the mind is a spirit. The words are spirit. The spirit is higher than the natural. What is seen, what is unseen is made, what is seen is made by the unseen. So if the unseen made the seen, then the unseen is higher. So your thoughts and your words are higher than what you see. It's really just logic. If you know enough verses, and if you don't, study them, memorize them, keep studying them. A lot of these verses are hidden in Proverbs, they're hidden in Psalms, and they're hidden all through the Bible. But if you really hold those thoughts in your mind and you compare it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Thoughts are spirit, words are spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the renewal doesn't allow you to live in the past. You live in the renewal now. Every moment is a renewal in the now. Now. It's now. What time is it? Now. What time is it? Now. 3 minutes later. What time is it? Still now. You can't live in the future and you can't live in the past. You can only live in the now. And so what does that mean? That means every moment is a renewal, is a regeneration. You're being regenerated if you allow the spirit of truth to regenerate you. But you got to be willing and able. How do I get willing? Well, you got to want it. And able, you got to get the Holy Spirit. You got to get saved. You got to get born again. If you're not born again, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you're going down. You're not going up. I don't care if you're a new age. I don't care if you're a guru. You're not going rising up. You're actually going down and you're actually going to worship yourself eventually. That's going down. It feels like you're going up, but it's an upside down pyramid. If you go to the guru path without Jesus, you're going down, but it's a pyramid that's upside down. So you think you're going up because you're getting all these insights. But where are they from? If they're not lining up with scripture, it's going to take you down a rabbit hole. But the rabbit hole looks like you're going up, but you're actually going down. I've seen it. I've seen the guru people. They start to rise up, and then they get discouraged, and they start to go back down. And then they'll send me an email or call me or text me or something and say, I know it, but I just can't do it. I know it, but I'm not able to do it. Are you saved? I know, but I can't do it. I don't have the power to do it. Exactly. Because you really don't know it because you think you're doing it. See, if as long as you try to do it, you'll never do it. You've got to die. You got to die to your own understanding, die to your own will, die to your own ideas, die to your own decode, and it's got to be lined up with scripture. There's a lot of people in the world decoding. And it used to upset me because they'd say the Bible code, whether the gematria, the number, the numerology. None of that's real. Use the words. Go to the etymology of the words and you'll be able to decode this whole reality. Break the words into parts because Jesus is the word. And if you break the words into parts, it shows everything. It shows the hologram. And the hologram just means holy writ. H-O-L-O is holy. Gram goes back to grammar, goes back to written. It is written. The holy writ is the hologram. And it means completely written everywhere at all times. So the story repeats every day. It is the hologram. God's word was forever settled in heaven. Jesus is the word. And so you're just, actually the hologram, the word, the Bible is written in your body. Everybody's looking for a soulmate. You better look for a spirit mate, somebody who has eternal spirit with you. Because, you know, yeah, it might feel good for a while. You could come across somebody and you think, they're my soulmate. That's my soulmate. And for 30 days, yeah, it feels like it. Until life hits and then your so-called soulmate. I'm actually going to do a video on that here in a little while. Not today, but soon. I don't think there's necessarily a soulmate like people think. There's soul ties. You can have a soul tie, but you can break a soul tie. But a spirit tie, you can never break. Because if everybody's one in Christ, they're always connected. So, yeah, there can be an attraction, like a soul. It can feel, in the 3D, it feels like a soulmate, you know. But it has to be watered and developed, any kind of the communication. See, what happens is when you commune, so let's say this man and woman meet and they start to commune with each other. Communication, communion. Communion just means together. C-O-M is together. Union, you're in union. So the more you commune, the more you're tied together. If you got one of them who's communing with other people too, especially let's say they get married, that's a soul tie down here in 3D. But think about it. A soul tie is temporary. I've been taking notes on these thoughts, but you know, the problem with people saying, oh, I got a soulmate out there. Well, it creates this, like, you're not whole in and of yourself. And 1 Corinthians 7 says, you're better off staying single. Your real soul tie is a spirit tie with God and with his body, with the saints. And so there's agape love, phileo love, storge love, eros love. So the eros love is the romantic. So if you really wanted a soul tie, you'd have to have the agape first. You'd have to have the phileo, which is the Philadelphia friendship. And then you'd have to have the storge, which is family. And then you'd have to have the eros, which goes back to the erotic. You'd have to have all four. In the book of Song of Solomon, it says, my sister, my spouse, my beloved. So you'd have a sister. Then you get married. You got to be on the same page. If you really want to, it's temporary. The natural realm's temporary. So a soul tie is nothing but, you know, what do they call it? Soulmate. So a soulmate is just a soul tie that you made a commitment to and you're in communion with. It's a choice. You can make that choice. A spirit tie is beyond your ability to control it because it's outside of time. A spirit tie, you have a brother or sister in Christ that you know that's your family. You know who your family is. And you want to help each other down here because you know that that's the real family. The spirit ties forever. So the soul ties down here, you have to know they're temporary. But one of the bad things about soulmate, I mean, I'm going to do a video on this. I've got like 10 data points. The bad point about people looking for a soul tie, they feel incomplete if they don't find it. And somebody says, I found my soul tie. But you're still going to have arguments, and you're still going to have disagreements, and you still... The secret... See, when you tie into anything down here, especially marriage, you're going to have trouble. The Bible says you're going to have trouble. The Bible says marriage is a good thing, don't get me wrong. But marriage is mainly... Marriage is mainly for... edification of the other person. But everybody wants, I gotta find my soul tie. If they're not complete and in and of themselves, even if they found their quote unquote, if it's real, which who knows, even if they think they found their soulmate, their soul tie down here, if they're not whole in and of themselves, they'll destroy that soul tie. A soul tie is a real thing, and it's real. And sometimes you tie a soul with the wrong people or the wrong person, and you got to start cutting the strings. And it's going to be painful. But this is a whole different ballgame, a whole nother video. I don't even know how I got on that. It'll feel like a soul tie. I mean, a soulmate. You met your perfect match. And then... You say, I do, and about 30 to 60 days into it, you think, what in the world did I do? And that's part of the process. The reason marriage is like that is because when you get saved, God is so high and lifted up that he's way beyond. You talk about real pure love, and God is so holy and separated and set apart. So when you get saved, God is having to weave you back into his mind, right? And so you're born in the flesh mind, and the reason it's so painful to try to shift to the spirit mind is because it's contrary to what you are. So you've been single your whole life, you get married to this person, and it's painful because it's a cutting, it's a turning, it's a edification, you don't want to be separated, but then you have to be separated, and then sometimes you want to be, and the other one doesn't want you to be. It's a push and pull situation. It's a type and shadow how God is changing you. Doesn't matter if it's the man or the woman. When there's a marriage, there's that push-pull, there's that change. And why are you doing that? Why don't you help me wash dishes? Why didn't you mow the yard? Why did you say that to the kids? Why did you look at me like that? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? What are you talking about? But maybe there's things that you have blind. See, you might have some blinders on. That's why you have that communion. Because if you don't have the puzzle pieces communing with each other, how can they grow? In marriage, you got the, if it's two saved people, you got the spirit and you got the flesh, right? So the flesh tears flesh, cuts flesh. The spirit sharpens spirit. The flesh tears the flesh. The spirit sharpens the spirit. The flesh creatures always tear each other. The spirit creatures always build each other up. That's why you can be walking in the spirit, you get married, you drop down to the cares of this life, and you end up arguing and fighting over something stupid, and it's like two little kids. It's like, why did we just have an argument over something that stupid? Because it's the flesh. It's really easy. I mean, if you're saved, yeah, there's a spirit tie. And if you tie down in the natural, there's a soul tie. Is it a soulmate? I guess it could be. And the reason soulmate is a bad thing, because if you use that terminology, I mean, it can feel like it, but here's the problem. If you think, well, this ain't my soulmate anymore, and you're married, so it would justify somebody divorcing and cheating. That's why the word soulmate is dangerous, because they're no longer my soulmate. Yeah, but are they your spirit? Are they your spirit tie? Did you make a covenant? Did you make agreement? So if you go by emotions, yeah, you might have another soul tie you run to, and another one, and another one. So I think soul tie is, I mean, a soul mate. Soul tie is real. But I think soul mate is a culture lie. But I have some data points on this. But I'm not dogmatic about this. If people found their soul mate, good. More power to you. But when the trouble happens and you decide, oh, I found another soul mate, then you're believing a lie, you know. And that's happening all the time. They say, I married, I thought they were my soulmate. But then I met this one. This is my soulmate. What are you, stupid? Yeah, you could have two soul ties, but you're destroying your own heart. The real deal is a spirit tie. If two people are spiritual in Christ, that's an eternal tie. It don't matter what they do down here. You see them in Christ. You don't see them according to the natural. See, when we talk to a born-again believer, right, we don't see them where they are. We see them in Christ, seated in the heavenlies. We don't know people according to the natural. We know people according to the Spirit. And so the natural creatures, they don't know us according to the Spirit. They only know us according to the natural. So there's two different worldviews. There's two different realities. And you have to change your... We have to change our stinking thinking to think right. The temporal realm, the natural realm, the 3D, it's just temporary. If you can't connect with somebody in the spirit plane, you're never going to have peace with that person, ever. You're never going to learn who they are. You don't want to know them. It's just going to be fighting and arguing. Neither one of them want to die as a self. They'll be fighting, they'll be tearing the house up, fighting. Because they don't really want to, they want to do their own thing. But in the spirit, you don't want to do your own thing. You want to serve one another. You understand what I'm saying? The whole culture has lied to everybody about everything. The culture is an upside down pyramid to the hilt. I mean, it's so upside down, it affects every aspect of your life, and you don't even know it until you cut off the noise and kind of get isolated a little bit and just look at it from an outside-in perspective. I think the witches created this soulmate thing. I think they did. I really do. Because if you're sitting here thinking, I can't find my soulmate, I won't be happy. Wrong. You can be happy right now in Christ, no matter what you're doing. 1 Corinthians 7 says you're better off single. Why does he say get married? If you can't withhold to avoid fornication. So once you collapse the wave function and you marry, that's your soul tie, or that's your soulmate down here, but it's temporary, so it's not forever. Because somebody's going to die eventually, and the earth's going to be renovated, and the rapture's going to take place. So it's a temporal thing. Anything temporary is not real. It's going to all burn up.